Today on the program, a very special guest, Oprah Winfrey. That's not true.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That's not
whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea,
whatever
your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm just going to sit here for an hour and say thank you. Thank you very much. I can't see anything wrong with doing that. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Well, yes, it's a fact. Oprah Winfrey is not on the program today. There is no reason why she would be. We have not been friends for a long time. We never were. I don't know her. She doesn't know me. I'm aware of her. She's not aware of me. We've never gone out to lunch together, nor dinner. The sex didn't happen. I have no relationship with her whatsoever. I've never even picked up her magazine. I've seen the cover of it sticking out of a little wire rack at the supermarket, but that's all. I know she has her own network, but I don't watch it. I know who Dr. Phil is. She kind of made him famous, but I don't know her. So later on in the program today, Oprah Winfrey will not be here. I will not be talking to her. I will not have open dialogue. Nothing will happen with her whatsoever. I shall never touch her, and she shall never touch me. That's a relationship that works for us. We don't know anybody in common. There's nothing going on. She never called me by mistake. She never tried to robocall me. Nothing. Just nothing. I have no relationship with her. Have I made the point rather clear that she's not on the show today later on in the second half of the program? I hope it is clear to you because she's not here. She's not here. She won't be on the phone. I don't know where she is right now. Probably sleeping. I have no idea. I also don't care. That's the other part. I don't care what she's doing. I don't care where she is. It's of no consequence to me. It's no consequence to me where she is or what she could be eating right now, but I have no idea if she is or what she's eating. Yesterday was the Boston Marathon, and if you can't run really well and don't have endurance, then you're probably still running the course. And I hate to tell you, but you could get run over by a car because the thing's over. If you can't finish the marathon the same day that you started it, you probably shouldn't be running it. Also, a clue, when you're running a 26-mile marathon, don't do it barefoot. Not going to help you. Could be quite painful by the time the thing's over. Here's the interesting part. The Boston Marathon yesterday was won by a Kenyan. Who knew? Who knew? Isn't it always won by somebody from Kenya? always like, isn't that part of it? Isn't it kind of like the American Indians? Like, they get to open up casinos. It's okay. It's the same with Kenyans running marathons. If you run it, you know you're going to win, but do it anyway just for the hell of it. Kenyans always win. They always win. And you know why? Because people in Kenya, they apparently don't have any transportation. They're like honorary Amish. They walk and they run everywhere. They don't drop their kids off at the bus stop and wait for them in the car. These kids walk 72 miles to school each way. They're trained to run. And there is always somebody chasing them, by the way, other Kenyans. It's true. And this is why they always win marathons. And that's why, well, actually, yes, I don't know the Kenyan's name because it's not important. But, I mean, it is to him and his family, but I don't really know his name. I just know that he's from Kenya because that's the rules. When he crossed the finish line, he looked thankful because you kind of have to do it. They tell you that. If you win the marathon, look really thankful. Would you do that, please? And they'll go, yeah, fine. Give me the number. Let me tape it to my chest and let me run this damn thing and get it over with. Got to run off this pasta. So the Kenyan guy, he wins the marathon. He crosses a finish line. He gets down on his knees and he kisses the pavement. That might be the first mistake. I don't think it's healthy to get down on your knees and kiss road surface. I can see kissing the ground, perhaps, you know, like Mother Earth, the dirt. Maybe because the earth is made of that organic substance. But getting down on your knees and kissing asphalt, tar, pavement, doesn't quite make it for me. I don't know what we're embracing here. Are we embracing the gravel and asphalt companies? Why are we kissing a street? I would love to, if you're going to take it all the way, I'd love to see a heavy makeout session between the Kenyan and the street. I mean, I would love to see some funky sex going on there. You know what I'm saying? Why not? What the hell? I laugh, but it's absolutely true. I watched a small part of the marathon because I had to. I was sitting in a bar and having lunch, and it was on the television. I had no choice. And the only thing I could see was the absurdity of this is a spectator sport. And I did watch the guy from Kenya cross the finish line and kiss the street. And I thought, hey, wait a minute. That's the job of a street cleaner. Don't take our American jobs away from us. Kissing the street. Don't do that. That's our thing. That's our job to do that, not yours. We're only about half an hour away from Oprah Winfrey not being on the show, and that should be very exciting. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. I'll be here for quite a period of time. I hope you can join me. Go get a sandwich or something.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, please sit down. Please curb your applause. Thank you, though. I really do appreciate that. You're wonderful people. We're going to talk about a few things today. We do have a few guests. None of them are Oprah Winfrey, but you never know. So, you know, that's like the little tease that we have going on here. Do you take vitamins? No? Yes? Answer me, will you please? You're being sketchy about it. Do you take vitamins? Sometimes. I take vitamins because my mother told me when I was a child that I should be taking vitamins every day. As a matter of fact, there was a vitamin company, and I think it's still around. It's called One a Day. The name of the pill was actually also the instructions, which was very clever, by the way. Well, how many of these do I take? Hey, stupid, the name of the thing is One a Day, stupid jerk. Yeah, they gave you the idea that just taking one of these vitamins would give you every nutrition that you needed for the entire course of the day. Why eat? I'll tell you why I eat, because it's tasty stuff. For a long time, I didn't take vitamins. Nothing happened. I was perfectly fine. But somehow, in the back of my mind, my mother's voice keeps saying, take the vitamins. Take the vitamins every day. I reached a certain age, and I said to myself, well, can it hurt? Here's the one thing that vitamins do. When you urinate, your urine is orange. And I find that to be a colorful addition. I don't have any problem with that. Now, if I I'll tell you a funny story, and it's really not that funny because nothing I really say is all that funny anyway. But this is a true funny story that actually happened to me.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
That's enough music. I hadn't taken vitamins for a long time, probably at least a year, because I always figured that if there's vitamins and vegetables, that's the best way to have your vitamins. You don't need to take it by pill form. Also, I forgot to take it. This went on for a year, and then that voice inside my head, it was my mother's voice, and she kept saying, take a vitamin. What the hell's your problem? Take a vitamin. Is it a big deal for you to take a vitamin? It takes one. You take other stuff. Is it a big deal to take a vitamin? Come on, take a vitamin. That just kept playing in my head. And, take a vitamin. Just so to shut her up in my head, I started taking vitamins. And I remember the first day I did it, I popped the vitamin in my mouth. And a sip of water, and the vitamin went down really smooth, man. And I went about my day. About 3 hours later, I had to pee. I don't think it's because my prostate is any larger than yours necessarily, but I just had to pee. Okay, stop getting so personal. So I go into the bathroom. I remember this so vividly because it was a milestone in my life. I went to the bathroom, sat down, did my thing, got up, was about to flush it, looked inside the toilet bowl, and the bowl was like orange. I remember, and it panicked me, because I remember that, because of all the interviews I've been doing on this show for decades, doctors keep saying that when your urine is clear or a very, just a light yellow, you're good. When your urine turns like dark orange, you're going to die. No, they didn't say you're going to die, but they said, you've got a problem. You've got some type of a problem, and it should be addressed immediately. So I get up from the toilet. I turn around. I look in the bowl, and it's bright orange. It's like Halloween is going on in there. And my immediate reaction was, this is my last urination before I pass out. What's wrong with me? What did I eat? Was there bad fish? Did I have some bad sushi, some bad shumano? What did I eat? Was it bad? Do I have an intestinal? Are there tapeworms in there? What's going on inside me that is causing this? My gosh, it's all of a sudden it's dark orange. And then, of course, you know the tagline here. I remembered, oh my God, this morning I took a vitamin and that's the vitamins coming out of my body. Oh my God. And when I do take vitamins, my urine is a darker color and because I'm pissing out the vitamins. Here's what I don't understand about this whole thing. When you take vitamins, shouldn't they be kind of like staying in your body? What's happening here? I'm taking a vitamin, a couple of hours later, I'm apparently peeing everything out. What's the point of taking the vitamin? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do the vitamins actually have food dye in them? Am I pissing out food dye or am I pissing out the actual vitamins? By the way, this is why I can't do broadcast radio anymore. I did broadcast radio for over 20 years and I talked about this stuff, but not so candidly, perhaps. Now that I do it candidly, radio stations, for the most part, say, Ron, you're a little bit beyond the borders of what we want on our station. And I say, oh, really? Okay. What about the President of the United States? Could he be a little bit beyond the borders of what you want in acting presidential? Because I don't get up at 3 in the morning and tweet about people and call them fat and morons and warn people and make them feel uncomfortable and act like a 10-year-old school child. But excuse me, I should be acting more presidential like he does. Anyway, I stopped taking the vitamins because I was fearful of the color of my urine. And let me tell you something. Don't ever be fearful of your own urine.
That was another funny story from Ron. Wait, that was supposed to be funny? Wow.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Okay, let's speak to our first guest right now. She had her own television show for decades and decades, was one of the most successful female talk show hosts ever. She now has her own network. And she also now has a big part of Weight Watchers, and she does the Weight Watchers commercials. I think you know who I'm talking about. Oprah Winfrey will not be on the show today because it was never arranged, and that's pretty much not feasible. But my next guest is here, Dr. Terry Walls, and we're talking about what I just pretty much talked about. Vitamins, how do I get the nutrition that I need? Isn't it easier to pop a pill? I don't know.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am terrific.
Wow, that's good. Dr. Terry Walls is joining us. She's a clinical professor of medicine at the University of Iowa, Carver College of Medicine in Iowa City, and so many other things. We're talking about dieting and the Walls protocol, which is the Walls diet, which is a little bit different than others, and I'm kind of fascinated by it. Doctor, first of all, I think the theory of it is to eat the proper foods rather than to take the proper vitamins.
Absolutely. You know, it can have a marvelous impact on your cells if you give them the building blocks they need to thrive.
And why would the intake of your minerals and all those supplements and vitamins through food be preferable to taking them in pill form?
Well, if you get them in food, you need to get everything in the correct ratios. Mm-hmm. You'll probably also get thousands of other compounds that science has yet to name that our cells have been using for thousands of generations mm-hmm. to conduct the chemistry of life.
Now, what if people
say... For example, if you take zinc by itself, you can inadvertently create a copper deficiency because zinc and copper are both uptaken by the same receptor in our cells.
Okay. All right. But in foods, but foods come with other things too. They come with fat. They come with various maybe toxins or something. I don't know, where one might say vitamins are more of a pure form.
Well, vitamins are often synthetic. Many of them are now made in China with who knows what kind of control standards. We have that concern.
Yeah.
But if you take it from food, you get things in the more complex, complete state. So a B vitamin folate, when we first identified that in the lab, there were many closely related compounds that also interact with our cells. And we just chose one that we named as folate. When you take it in food, you get all of those related compounds.
Okay. I was looking at the menu, which is very tasty. Now I'm hungry. And it's the Walls Protocol Cooking for Life, and it is an actual cookbook. A cookbook. It's an eating guide is what it actually is. And I see a lot of recipes for ground lamb, and I was wondering, lamb is one of the fattier meats. Is fat okay in certain aspects?
Absolutely. Fat is critical. Around every cell that we have in our body is a layer of fat. And around the wiring between brain cells and our brain is myelin, which is a fatty insulation. If we don't have enough fat to make those cell membranes and the insulation in our brain, we're at much greater risk for early Alzheimer's. We're at greater risk for cancers, infections, even heart disease. So, that's an absolute requirement.
Okay. But how do you balance that with somebody who has cholesterol concerns?
The problem with cholesterol is, has the cholesterol molecule been damaged? If a damaged molecule of cholesterol becomes very damaging, very prone to clogging the arteries. And so the damage is high sugar, lead, mercury, arsenic, and infection particles. So we talk about that, the need to have a lower sugar intake, the need to help the body process and eliminate lead and mercury, and the importance of flossing your teeth to decrease that risk of infection.
Okay. So we shouldn't be, because everything in all the diet things is lean meats and stay away from fats and go to low fat, but that may not be accurate?
That has shifted. So the thinking now is fat is not the villain, sugar is the villain, and that we want people to protect their cholesterol molecules because we need that cholesterol in our brain.
Ah, and I have heard that you need fat to pronounce the burning process. Without fat, it's not burning the right stuff.
Correct. You know, and actually the heart muscle depends on fat as well.
Ah.
So our understanding of cholesterol and fat continues to evolve. And in fact, the basic scientists are now thinking the clogging of the arteries is actually an autoimmune problem.
Oh. I don't know why they always figure these things out when I get older.
It happens. You know, science, we keep learning and we keep modifying our understanding of things.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If only they came up with this before, I could have had a better life, I think. I don't know. Wouldn't have been so paranoid about eating everything, but I get it. So what you're saying is if you eat healthy and you eat smart, that you're pretty much okay, but what you put into your the food that you eat is more significant than the pills that you put in yourself, and don't put pills.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's more significant than the vitamins you take. It's more significant, far more significant than the prescription medication you take, because the food you eat can lead to your ability to repair itself, to youthen, to stabilize and reverse diseases, even like type 2 diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and autoimmune problems. Yeah, and that's what we've seen in our clinics.
Okay, but stay away from processed sugars is what you're saying.
Stay away from sugar. Sugar is number one enemy.
Okay, And yet, of course, that's the cocaine of food.
That is the cocaine of food, absolutely.
All right. Now, tell me about the Cooking for Life book. That's recently come out.
Sure. So for years I ran a lifestyle clinic where we use these principles in our veterans to reverse disease. Uh-huh. People didn't know how to cook, so we had cooking classes, and it was extraordinarily successful. I taught them how to implement this without increasing their food budget. And as a result of that success, I knew I needed to teach this to the public. Uh-huh. So we've written this book to teach people once again how to cook. It's fun, it's easy, and we've created templates for smoothies, juices, skillet meals, soups, stews, holiday meals, to help people understand how fun it is, how easy it is, and how they can do this without exploding their food budget.
Okay. So, you're a doctor, but at the same time, you're saying if you're on medications, stay on them, but try eating through this method and see what happens, and maybe someday you can be taken off of the medications, but don't stop the medications now.
Yeah, don't stop your meds,
right.
Do the food, and what you'll probably experience is better blood pressure, better blood sugar. You know, if you're overweight, you'll lose weight without being hungry.
Okay.
Pain will go down. Mood and energy goes up.
Right.
And it's very typical. We're able to reduce medication and often eliminate many meds that people want. And people came on to us on 15, 20-plus medications.
Yeah.
We really transformed the lives of many, many, many patients in our lifestyle clinic.
Do you believe in this fish oil thing where everything is based now
around
omegas? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a fish oil can be very helpful.
Okay, but better through foods?
Better through food. We did use targeted supplements, depending on the person's story, their issues in their labs.
Yeah.
But the bedrock was food, absolutely.
Okay, very good. How do we get more information?
Please visit me at Terry Walls, T-E-R-R-Y, Walls, W-A-H-L-S.com. We've got links to the books and more information there. And, of course, I want people to support their local brick-and-mortar bookstores.
Yes, absolutely, because without that, there'll be no more of them, and then you can't hold anything in your hands and enjoy a book. It's on sale as of April 4th, which is now, and it's the Walls Protocol Cooking for Life. Thanks for the info. Good talking to you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Dr. Terry Wall. Interesting stuff. Make sure you take your vitamins. You know, I don't know if vitamins are good for you or bad for you, but they fall under the category of what the hell. It's one of those what the hell things in life. It probably isn't horrible for you. It could actually be good for you. I don't know. She says they are. Eat the proper foods. Take vitamins. Don't take vitamins. I don't care. I certainly might be more prone to take vitamins that are made in the United States, manufactured in the United States, as opposed to coming from, countries that I can't even pronounce, and when I see them marching in the Olympics, I didn't know, even though they existed. I would tend not to put things in my mouth from them. Besides, a lot of them kiss asphalt and pavement. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's true. I've seen it myself. Yeep, beep, 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 beep. Okay, we go from that to our next guest. She had her own television show for decades. She has her own television network. She's one of the icons of the television industry. Ladies and gentlemen, Oprah Winfrey will not be on the show today because I haven't booked her, I haven't asked her, and if I did, she probably wouldn't do it. You never know, but not today. That's not happening. Dr. Rizak is here, though. We're going to talk about Parkinson's disease. The only thing I knew about Parkinson's disease was absolutely kind of nothing. Betty Davis, was she the one that kept shaking her head? No, that wasn't her. That was somebody else. That was Katharine Hepburn. She kept shaking her head. That was Parkinson's, I believe. And that was, I think it was, and that was my first introduction. And then I had a family member that actually contracted that before there was actual medication to treat it. Or to make it livable. So It's in my, I don't know if it's in my jeans or in my pants or what, but Dr. Rizak is here. We're going to talk about Parkinson's disease. Okay. Hello, Dr. Rizak. How are you?
Hi there. Good. Thank you.
Good. Dr. Rizak joins us now. We're talking about Parkinson's disease, and this is the awareness month for it, but of course we're always aware of it. We always should be aware of it. The doctor is MD, PhD, neurology, medical director of the Movement Disorders Center at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And this is, we're hearing more and more about Parkinson's. Is it a growing situation, or is it that we didn't discuss it that much previously?
Well, I think it's becoming much more common. They say that either you know somebody with Parkinson's or you know someone that knows someone with Parkinson's. So it's really everywhere. There's about 1 million to 2 million people in the United States with Parkinson's disease. And there's a lot of work going on now to look for a cure for the disease. And I think we're getting closer every day. And I think it is something that is the model for curing a neurodegenerative disease, and in that category, Alzheimer's and ALS are considered as well, uh-huh. and there are others. But it's a very nice model to use. There are certain features of the disease that we know that dopamine is deficient in Parkinson's disease, and we also know that there's a pathological change in the cells that we can identify in Parkinson's disease to see if we can't change that. We can change the course of the illness. So we're looking for neuroprotective and neuromodulating treatments for the disease.
Is the disease inherited?
It can be. There's about 16 genetic mutations, and it changes all the time, that have been identified that are at least risk factors for getting Parkinson's disease. Most of these are recessive genes, which means that a lot of people can have this mutation and never manifest the disease. But there are several that are autosomal dominant. It's a very small percentage of people that have that being autosomal dominant. That means about, if your parent has Parkinson's, you have a 50-50 chance of actually inheriting that mutation and having the disease. But that's less than 1% of all the people with Parkinson's disease.
Okay, all right.
So the other, I'm sorry.
No, go on.
The other issue with Parkinson's disease are environmental factors, and we think actually in most cases genetics may set the stage, and then exposure to some toxin in the environment, pesticides, herbicides are prime candidates, may trigger the process and begin the neurodegenerative changes.
Is this, I mean, I would assume it's an age factor, but then with Michael J. Fox, he kind of showed us that, well, he had it at a fairly young age.
That's correct. You know, the most common time for people to present with Parkinson's disease is in the mid-60s, but it certainly can manifest. About 10% of patients with Parkinson's will have it begin in the so-called young onset category, which is technically between 21 and 40. That's a lot of people, and of course those are people that are in just beginning their lives and their careers and families, and it really impacts them very profoundly.
Are there any clues or symptoms that crop up early that would make you feel like I'm a pretty good candidate for this, and I better watch out?
Yeah, so it's a great question. I think, you know, we cannot make the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease until there are motor symptoms present, which means stiffness, slowness, tremor, or gait changes. But we do know that there are many non-motor parts of Parkinson's disease symptomatology that begin a decade or two before the motor symptoms emerge. Those would be mood changes like depression, anxiety, autonomic nervous system changes like constipation, blood pressure changes, bladder changes, sleep difficulties. I think one in particular is the called REM sleep behavior disorder. Yeah. REM is rapid eye movement sleep. That's where we dream, and normally we don't act out our dreams. It's all in our head, and we're enjoying the movie, but with REM sleep behavior disorder, we're actually acting out our dreams. We can injure our bed partners. Oh. We can throw ourselves out of bed. Oh. That is a very significant risk factor for developing Parkinsonism in the future. Could be 10, even 10 years later. Yeah.
As the years progress, as you said at the beginning, we're finding more about it through research. And so one can live with Parkinson's and not have Parkinson's be a trigger for a shorter life. In other words, you can live with this now as technology goes on.
You're correct. I think that with careful management, patients can do well for decades. And I, you know, we have a, here at Northwestern Medicine, we have a comprehensive program with rehabilitative therapies, physical therapy, speech, occupational therapy. We have all kinds of other activities that go on, psychological support, and micromanagement. I have to say that we really are very careful, tuned in to managing our patients with medicines that we know will cause the least side effects in the long run. And I always tell my patients that I not only want to make you better now, but I got to think about you 10 and 20 years from now.
Yes.
And I want to keep you as functional as possible.
Right.
And so it really takes an effort of, I believe, a team, and everybody's got to be involved, and the patient's got to be involved. I think the most important thing a patient can do to control their symptoms is exercise. I think that's been documented time and time again. It probably triggers neurotrophic factors, which are sort of protective proteins in the brain.
Right.
We have some evidence of that from animal models. Mm. And we push our patients to exercise. We have exercise programs right here at our hospital, and there's some boxing programs in the area that we support as well.
Wow. It's all fascinating, and as you said at the beginning of the interview as well, if it's not somebody in the family, you certainly do know somebody that is concerned about this. But I thank goodness that people like yourselves and medical technology is making advances. My father had Parkinson's and was on very, very expensive medicine that he could hardly afford. And then his demise was falling down. So it wasn't the disease itself; it was the effects thereof. So it's it hits a lot of people. Where can we go for more information?
I think in terms of clinical trials, Fox Finder. So the Michael J. Fox Foundation has a trial finder. Certainly, you can look at our website at Northwestern Medicine. And then other universities, of which I'm sure you have many in your area, will have clinical trials ongoing as well. And, of course, NIH, they have a whole area where clinical trials are on their website.
Right. Dr. Rizak, thank you so much, and thank you for doing what you do as well.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we're out of time for today, which means even if Oprah Winfrey were available, I would not have time for her today. But I do always have time for you. Oh, that's very soppy. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be with you again tomorrow with a brand new show. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.